tuned into The Drive Show with Johnny Big Hungry and Darren Harkness.
Kia ora.
How's it going?
Very well, and you?
Good. Now, we've got an intro for Sustaining Alive.
We think this fits. We think this totally fits. Let's stop it.
Sustaining Alive! Sustaining Alive! Sustaining Alive!
Sustaining Alive on 95 BFM.
That's right. And if you have seen on our social medias, we are talking the recent kick-up and massive situation that is UFO phenomena, or as it was relabeled in like the late 90s, UAP. And bless him, Darren Harkness reached out to me on the internet and said, "Hey, mate, I've actually been looking into this for a really long time. Haven't really spoken out about it because of all the sort of stigma that does go along with it. Thanks so much for putting your hand up to come and have a chat to us, mate."
Well, thanks. I mean, yeah, I certainly haven't wanted to talk about this. This is the first time I've ever talked about it in public. Right. There's no doubt about it. But I have been into this, gosh, what would I say, researching over 25 to 30 years. When I was a kid, my my dad and I watched this documentary with Bob Lazar. Mm-hmm. It was in 1989. Mm-hmm. So I'm going back a while now. But I was a kid, and my dad said, "Oh, yeah, my grandmother and him had saw this UFO with the local neighbor who was a priest looking through his binoculars," and you know, it buzzed me out. I was like, "Oh, wow." And then in the 90s I actually did get to see a couple as well. So I just, but you know, because of the stigma of it all, I've just had my mouth shut through all these years. But you know, through the years, I've, you know, before the internet, you just accumulate like transcripts of witness testimonies, and obviously you try, and you know, there were videos and there were some government things leaked here and there, so you get those copies of those.
Right on. And I guess the fact that, you know, people that do see them are generally not, they don't have trained eyes, but really the big kick up recently has been the US military.
Well, that's why I'm happy to talk about it now, because now it's not, oh, if they exist, it's actually, no, they do exist.
The US government has said UFOs exist.
The Pentagon have said that they existed last year and they're real, and that the video footage that's been released since 2017 is real, and Obama said they're real. So, and now the discussion is, what are they? And so I'd be very happy to share talking about it now, because without the stigma attached, now it's been accepted, and 60 Minutes have done their item on it, and I obviously a lot more is going to happen over the coming months. And of course this month is very important, because the Senate and the over in America, those guys there are about to have a report given to them
June 25th.
That's when it's due. To discuss everything that they know about it. All the intelligence agencies have to submit this report through the Pentagon.
Is it just a summary of information, or
it is basically, and it has to be in a form for the public. So there's been a big turnaround since over the last 3 years. There's been a big turnaround.
What happened in 2017 that really brought this to the forefront?
Well, obviously what you're referring to is in December 2017, the New York Times and another article, Politico, they released the footage of gun camera footage of the UFO off the 2004 incident from the USS Nimitz. And that actually came from, so what we should probably discuss is what's been confirmed and what we know so far, and who and where does this information come from? You know, let's just keep to the facts. So
right on.
That information, I mean, if anyone's been following this, or if you haven't, we can look at the whole picture. But there are some key people behind it. And in October 2017, a couple of months before that footage came out, you're familiar with Tom DeLonge? This is where it gets interesting, isn't it?
Yes.
Blink-182
Cat. I saw his band play at the Big Doubt one year.
Did you? Right.
The tour guitarist from Blink-182 with the piercing.
Well, him and I, we met through musical connections many years ago, but he told me, and we talked about our UFO, you know, interest, and he was telling me in the 2000s about, he was very excited about getting together with these government insiders, and I was like, oh, blah, 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 he, you know, he's he's a character.
Right.
But anyway, it actually did come true. In October 2017, I watched this seminar that he did live on the internet, and the people he had on his team, he started a company called To The Stars Academy, and these are the people that ended up releasing the videos that Obama's been talking about, you know.
Right.
Obama said, let's get it for the people who know nothing about it.
Yeah.
Obama said recently that, you know, there are videos and records of craft in our spaces that we don't know what they are.
We can't explain how they move.
These ones that they're talking about are these videos that Tom DeLonge and his team managed to get released in December 2017 after their presentation.
Essentially forcing the government's hand.
And it took a few years. It took until just last year. It was in April last year, so, you know, over a year ago, when the Navy and the Pentagon admitted that the video footage was real. It took them 3 years.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But, and so in that time, there's been some people behind the scenes.
And in a sense, we say that it's real. Sorry, we should just say that they're saying, look, these are actual things that we don't know what they are. They are unidentified flying objects.
So what you could do is you could look at the 2004 incident that became... The footage itself.
The tic-tac.
And it's, so they've got David Fravor, the pilot and co-pilot, and they have witness testimony from them and they have the gun camera footage, but they also have, which is the interesting part, is radar footage, radar sensored information, and they also have, which is recently John Ratcliffe, who was... a director of intelligence under Trump, he said in an interview that they have satellite data as well of all these incidents.
Explaining,
so there's three lots of them.
The performance of these vehicles.
You know, for example, the radar guy on the USS Nimitz on the incident, he talks about how they were at 28,000 feet and then bam, in 0.7 of a second, it's at sea level. And this is what the David Fravor, the pilots were seeing and what they filmed, etc. Yeah.
This is an ongoing incident as well. That was happening for over a week or so in the area.
Is where it gets interesting. Yes, that's right. And you can look at it. Everyone can look into that, and there's a lot of information about that. But of course, what's interesting is three videos were released. So there's another incident that happened in 2015, and on the 60 Minutes item.
That's quite massive because
it's
very mainstream.
I mean, it's very interesting. Yeah. So the pilot talks about, now this is where it gets interesting too, of course, is if you start reading between the lines. That pilot, he said, Commander, he said on it that they were witnessing him every day for 2 years.
Right.
So you imagine that if they've got the, we've been given three videos.
Yeah.
You imagine what they have.
Yeah.
You know, every day for 2 years.
And that speaks to the fact that the sort of pop culture has winced away the importance of this, because these guys are seeing this. It's outperforming what they can do. And they're actually, a lot of pilots are sort of ashamed to bring it up because it's such a stigma to even talk about this thing. Because we've just made a million movies about how it's kind of a joke, you know, but that all stems from something.
Well, it's changed now.
Yeah, very much so.
Thankfully.
Yeah.
Very
interesting. We just got a text in. We should probably read these out as they come in. If you do have any stories, let us know. 5395. Someone saying they saw a UFO in Pihar about 10 years ago. Exact same qualities of movement as the ones being reported by the US military now. Fucking crazy.
Which is an extremely valid point because of now, at the moment, the Pentagon and the UAP task force, which has been set up under Trump, but now it's running under Biden. It's they're just talking about incidents from 2004 onwards. But now that it's been confirmed, you are able to look back at the historical records and
patterns,
and just see the connections. And it's going to make things much easier for people like us to put the two and two together. But I mean, you know, it's very confusing still, obviously, and it will be for quite some time.
It's confusing but exciting at the same time.
We don't know what they are, and then that's ultimately what's, you know, this report that comes out in June from the intelligence agencies for the Congress, that's really, really interesting. And it has to be made public. So, wow, here we go.
I mean, but...
You can say anything. This is a safe place,
John. Where do we
go
from here? Because it could be another... 10,000 years before they reveal ourselves, reveal themselves to us.
Yeah, I mean, well, they are revealing themselves, aren't they? I mean, the incident of 2004 is fascinating when you look at their interviews of the pilots, and there's this secret coordinates they have. They call this cat point, right? And of course, the radar guy says, "By the way, that UFO that just disappeared is now at your rendezvous point, 60 miles away, just like that." So they're saying, "Hello, this is where you guys are coming, isn't it?" You know, I mean, really. It could be also as they're saying, it could be China, it could be New Zealand government that have made some cool little things, who knows.
Should we play a track to sort of break us up and take a breather, and we'll come back and discuss, you know, what they could be or what we know. We'll be right back. getting texts in already. People, someone saying this is so ridiculous. It is. This is a ridiculous time to be alive. I mean, the American government is admitting that there's UFOs, and we're about to get a little bit closer to finding out what these things actually are. I mean, people immediately sort of speculate to the alien realm. But
well, I guess we should talk about what's actually, you know, we're talking about this report. So what happened in during COVID time under Trump
is that he
put together this COVID relief package. Mm. And in that COVID relief package was there's a report that needed to be made addressing this issue, because quite a lot of senators had been briefed with classified information on this UAP issue from these modern events.
The Senate Intelligence Committee has told the Pentagon to produce a report.
Yeah,
essentially that's what's.
And so what happened is there were a couple of the senators said, hey, okay, let's just make, it's got to happen. So a report has to go to Congress, and they were given 180 days, which is this month.
Mm-hmm. I've heard they can kick it down the road a little bit.
It probably will.
And I've also heard that they might actually hold on to the most gnarliest footage, because apparently they've got stuff right outside of cockpits.
Well, I mean, Lou Elizondo, who headed that program, I mean, the interesting thing, we're talking about that 2017 incident, when that newspaper article broke, a big part of that was the fact that because the US government always denied that they had any interest, let alone that they were real.
Project Blue Book was kind of like a smear.
So they acknowledged in that article that they ran a program called the Advanced Aerial Threat Identification Program that ran for 10 years. And Lou Elizondo, who's the guy who's been kind of spearheading a lot of this information lately, and who's been on 60 Minutes.
He resigned in protest, didn't he? Because it wasn't that
from
no
the
was
Department of
serious.
Defense. Yeah. Yes, yeah. He did. He was an interesting character, because he was a counterintelligence special agent for the CIA. I mean, it's
no fucking joke, right there.
No, it's crazy, isn't it? I mean, it all just sounds so crazy, and it's like out of a movie. But
it's too crazy for people to actually fathom. Because I've been saying to sort of the BFM news team, going, "Man, we need to run a story on this," and everyone just thinks I'm mental. And I'm like, "Dude, this is exciting as hell."
Yeah, it will be. Yeah, I mean, it's Australia have picked it up, BBC have picked it up.
Yeah, I've been watching the curve, and it's really cool to be ahead of a curve and watching different news companies sort of cover it, left or right. Everyone's just kind of in a buzz.
Australian Seven News did a good documentary on it this week too.
Mm.
Yo,
we are talking UFOs and or UAPs, depending on where you are on this journey. We do recommend, if you've got the time, to go and watch any interview with Commander David Fravor, who saw the Tic Tac firsthand, and his report is really compelling, I think, if you really just wanted to catch up on where we're at.
Absolutely. I mean, you're right. He was very important. And there, like we say, it's important to know where this information is coming from.
Pilot.
it's not only him, it's the radar people as well.
Three other people that were in the jets with him as well.
Yeah, I think there's about 50 people who have come forward from the USS Nimitz on record now. It might be more.
What would we hope to learn from the UAPs and the UFOs?
Now, I guess that comes down to your sustainability idea.
New way
it?
To travel, yeah.
Well, I guess it's energy, isn't it? Because they're not traveling around.
Let's get
petrol.
Into that.
That's the exciting part.
Yeah, they've said that these crafts are potentially manipulating gravity. That's how they're opening a gravity space and falling into it constantly.
It seems to be what the scientists are talking about,
which is beyond our physics.
I think it is our physics, just that it's a different application of it from read. Because I'm not a physicist, so I can't talk about it. But
if
I'm just reading the physicists who talk about that for sure. It is fascinating, isn't it?
Because these things are performing and manoeuvring in such a way that is.
And gravity, yes.
If someone was in these crafts and going, you know, faster than the speed barrier, one thing, there's no sonic boom.
Isn't it 600 Gs or something crazy?
A human
crazy?
couldn't handle it, so they're thinking, well, are they drones? Could be. We'll see. We don't know. We're getting a couple of texts in here. Hey guys, talking to a pilot a while back and the Kaikoura UFO incident that went on for several days about 20 years ago.
1978 it was.
Right, okay. About, I think. Was that a significant person. Display and completely unexplained.
A significant event.
Oh, sorry.
Completely unexplained.
Yeah, that was actually a 1978 event we had, where some pilots filmed it. You can watch the footage. And the news actually in New Zealand did an item at the time.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's our most famous UFO sighting in New Zealand.
Is the Dome Valley still the number one spot for seeing UFOs in New Zealand?
I do not know.
It used to be. I remember it was like a humble brag. I'm from Silverdale, so I was like, always used to be like the Dome Valley, yo. Someone just texting in the word Stephen Greer.
Yeah, well, yep. Stephen Greer's an interesting character too. Exactly.
The Phenomenon is a great documentary if you've got time. I just watched it yesterday,
actually. That's Jamie Foxx directed that movie. And I agree that The Phenomenon is probably a great place to start if someone wants to find out some more information about this, everything we're talking about, and a lot more. It's a recent documentary that only came out a couple of months ago. But let's get back to Stephen Greer, because he's an interesting character. Is that all right? He did something in 2001 called the Disclosure Project, where he had a few hundred witnesses. Now it's many, many hundreds of witnesses, and they're mainly like radar people, airport people, military people, naval, you know.
They're trained eyes, exactly.
That was his focus, and he's briefed people from Clinton right through all the things because of the witness testimony. Mm-hmm. But what's interesting, and related to what we're talking about before, is that Stephen Greer just recently said that Lou Elizondo and Chris Mellon, the people we're talking about, are all talking shit, and they are lying, and they're saying that they do know what some of these vehicles are. Stephen Greer is saying hey, look, some of these have been back engineered through the years.
Right.
So this is the other part. This is the Bob Lazar zone, exactly.
Right. Bob Lazar, a Roswell employee.
We have to accept the fact that now we can't talk about this as being fact. This is pure speculation.
Of course, yeah.
So I want to make that clear that.
That's the beauty of it. All we have to do is just look at it.
Stephen Greer has to be respected, and I do respect his opinion, so I will listen to him. But of course, I think it's interesting what Lou Elizondo and Chris Mellon are saying, and the fact that they're bringing it up and they're making these senators' ears prick up and making this report happen is hugely important, regardless of what the, you know, it's scary. It's a little bit scary, maybe. I don't know. They're not hostile. As far as I can tell, these craft, who's ever operating them, are not hostile.
They're not hostile.
I don't think there's anything to worry about.
What about the fact that we are kind of focused on America right now, but I assume this is a global situation.
Yep. New Zealand's got a wonderful history alone.
Right, yeah.
We've declassified a lot of our files.
I hear per capita France is the biggest for UFO sightings, which is kind of interesting.
South American governments have been really open since the early 90s. There was a big... In 1991, an eclipse, there was a UAP that hovered underneath the sun for about 20 minutes, and all the people filmed it in 91 on their VHS. And Hamir Malson, the guy who ran 60 Minutes at the time, asked people to send in his videos, and he got like 500 tapes sent in and blah, blah, blah. So the Brazilians and South Americans, Chile, quite a few countries, Mexico, they've released
Mexican Air Force has released a lot,
We go back to the To the Stars Academy. They also had a scientist with them. That's, you know, Tom DeLonge's company with Chris Mellon and Lou Elizondo. They had a guy called Hal Puthoff.
Right.
He's 84 now. Now, he's an interesting character because he talks about how the Brazilian Air Force have about 70 hours of footage, which they looked at, and they in there under the ATIP program, because Hal Puthoff worked in the ATIP program as well with Lou Elizondo.
Mm-hmm.
So there's about 70 hours of footage from the Brazilian Air Force from the 1970s, which they've studied and looked at. Maybe some of this footage might come out, things like this. I mean, it's fascinating. Hal Puthoff, let's talk about this character, because he's part of this game that's a little bit quiet. He worked for the CIA as well.
Right.
He works with Zero Point Energy. He was twice nominated for a Nobel Prize for propulsion and power physics and for spaceflight applications. Mm-hmm. I mean, this guy's pretty out there. But he did there's an interview on a seminar he gives on YouTube where he talks about metals, these metamaterials. This is another aspect which has been studied under the ATIP program for those 10 years. So what that means is they've got, apparently, so I think this is some of this information might come out in the June report, where there's these been so-called like recovered bits of metal from craft, go back through
sites.
The 40s. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so they've been studied through the decades, and Hal Puthoff and the To the Stars can be the last scientist to look at it.
They can look at the way it's actually made.
Well, apparently
it's
made atom by atom, and they have no idea how it's done.
Not natural at all, definitely made by something.
And it has these interesting properties which... You know, I'm guessing some of this information will come out because he's talked about it, you know, on publicly. So I hope so, because that will help us understand the nature of things a bit more too, I guess.
Nice.
Should we hit another track that you brought with you?
Sure, man. Let's listen to some King Ketchup, because that's one of my bands, and this song's called Hell, And we're playing at Cupid Bar and on June 14th with Jang and...
Playing Power Fest as well?
Yeah, oh, that's with Loud Ghost. Oh, right. That was the last track we played, was a Loud Ghost track. We didn't talk about that. That's Power Tool Records. Nice one. Thanks, you
we,
guys.
We are here. But Darren Harkness, of course, is a notable local musician, so this is all tied in very, very perfectly, so we can play tunes in between this epic jack.
Well, there was a Loud Ghost track from a new album before, and we were playing on Sunday at the Power Tool Records. Their massive 40 bands, you know, 38 bands.
Fucking powerful,
awesome,
man.
We'll see it. At Newland Community Fest. But this is King Ketchup, and, you know, we're part of 1 to 12 Records and that crew, and they're doing this really amazing thing on the 25th, this Matariki show. It's epic. With Harry Picasso's another band.
Is this brand new, King Ketchup, though?
Yes, it is. Let's just listen to it. I won't ramble anymore. Let's just push play.
We'll be back with some UAP UFO stuff.
We're in studio with Darren Harkness. We're talking UAPs.
Gloriously giving up his time and sort of putting yourself out there, mate. And we really appreciate it, you coming up and having this corridor with us, because I think it's really a radical time to be alive.
Thank you. I mean, like I said earlier, I'm quite happy to now that that they've been said that they're real. You know, I mean, I haven't been, because of all my music stuff, I'm not really into being known as the UFO guy.
Right.
Even though I do have this massive history of it, so. Personally,
so funny. You're all good if we just call you the UFO guy?
Don't, man. I'm gonna be me. We're just talking about the facts, man.
Yeah,
that's all we're gonna do.
That's
just
true.
The shit that's real.
It is
okay,
good to talk
let's
about
talk
the
about
facts.
What's confirmed, what we know so far,
right?
And let's keep this as an ongoing discussion as everyone learns, because
all the Bob Lazar stuff then too far out?
Bob Lazar's not that far out, actually.
It is,
you know,
one of the theories
it's
that
very
we've had
interesting,
this technology the whole time. It's been completely secret, and they're basically showing off to their own people to see if they can trace them. But that's one of the theories.
Yeah, I mean, they've obviously, quite a few people have talked, would they do that to their own thing or not? I don't really know. I mean, but it's still, even if it is back engineered stuff or whatever, it's still from something, isn't it? Or if it is secret stuff that, I mean, it's been going on a lot longer than 2004, and I think when you look at the history and you look at how things connect, there's more to this picture, and I think that's what the report's hinting at.
That's
it's
right.
Just that no one's able to talk about it yet.
This report in June was basically to find out how humbled the American government is at this point. I mean, if they've got things that are running circles around there. You're talking about a massive military power. If you've got things flying around and they don't know what it is, that's a big deal in itself. It doesn't even matter what it is. You know what I mean?
That's right. And that's why at the moment they've made it an issue that, okay, it exists, so what is it? And right. that is the issue. Is right. it the Chinese?
And that's where it can get quite fun.
Is it New Zealand?
Yeah. Well, most people that just drop into this subject go, oh, aliens, lol. You know, and that's kind of what happens is when you investigate how fast these things move, you're left with nothing that can happen on this earth. That's why people end up going to the alien theory.
Yeah. I mean, as all these experts are saying, like your Chris Mellons and your Lou Alexanders who've been studying it for all these years through the
government
military
officials.
Guys, you know.
Yeah.
Well, they are saying that. I mean, far out. They're pretty convinced that it's not American technology.
The pilots is the most convincing for me because I feel like they don't have an agenda in the sense that they're like retired. I mean, David Fravor's talking about something that happened 15 years ago. I mean, if you're talking about technology that another country has,
what's also you're exciting find out though soon is they had on those guys put out this documentary in the States last year called Unidentified, based on those incidents.
Right.
And the guy who was on 60 Minutes talking about the Omaha the incident from 2015 where they saw them every day for 2 years.
Yeah.
He was still serving.
Right.
So that's
right.
exciting. You
wow,
know?
Yeah.
He was the first person to ever come and be a witness testimony, a military
his
high
face
commander.
When he's saying that as well. Who, he's just like, yeah, he knows that it's crazy.
While he's still serving. So, I mean, that's massive because imagine being that guy, you know, you're not just me, just a rock and roller from Auckland being hassled from mates. You're a guy who's, you know.
We just had a text in Skynet. Someone's just texted in Skynet. There is a chance that we are in a simulation and these are the things coming down to fix the simulation.
Well, now you're in speculation land.
I'm definitely speculating.
People also say that they
could be things that live in the ocean that have been
like
the whole
time.
Yeah,
like an ancient civilization that lives on the seafloor.
Shit, it's fun, isn't
well,
it?
Well, I mean that, the reason why that's a valid point, and I'm very happy to discuss that, is because
they are
one of the things
they're
talking about
they?
Is they're calling these craft are transmedia events. So the latest video to be released, which was only a few weeks ago, from USS Omaha. It was filmed at 11 p.m. at night, and it has so it's infrared, and it shows a craft that
and
is buzzing around.
Sorts.
And on this incident, there were actually eight U.S. warships in an area, and these guys were buzzing for hours,
hovering, right?
And there were 14 of them. Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's what the recent radar footage was. But the video that we're talking about in particular here was when it gets submerged. It goes underwater.
Mm-hmm.
So it's hovering about and then it goes underwater.
Right. You hear
which
the
same
people
as the
watching
David
it go
Fravor
splash,
one.
Splash.
Yep, you
and
got
then,
it.
And then they go to try find it and they can't
so
find
what,
anything.
So Lou Elizondo calls it the transmedium, so they can travel in space and the air and in water at free will. You know, just boom, boom. And they've been clocked on radar at going 400 to 500 knots underwater by the Russians and the Americans officially. So
wow.
I mean, it's kind of fascinating.
We've had a nice text in here. So glad you guys are talking about this. It's a shame about the stigma, which has really intensified in the last few years concerning any conspiracy theories. In quotations.
Well, I actually think this can be completely separate from all the other stuff.
It's not a conspiracy anymore, is it?
No, so that's why I'm not worried.
I guess we've got Trump to blame for that with fake news, etc. Most modern humans have their heads up their asses. I think we'd be ignorant or arrogant to think we're alone in this massive universe. Cheers, Tom. I'm reluctant to go to the alien thing just because it's so far out. It is, especially when you think about the Tic Tac story, it was mirroring David Fravor in a sense that it knows how to be a like it was doing fighter jet type shit. So that makes me think it's human, you know what I mean? Like the way that it performed, but not the way that it actually performed, but the way it mirrored his actions when he went down to look at it.
It's one instant. Millions.
Oh, of course, that's the thing. And that's actually another interesting thing. If you go back to the earliest UFO sightings, they say they're actually Tic Tac shaped. So.
I mean, there's some really, I wish I had it in front of me. I didn't think of bringing any of this information, but there's some really cool New Zealand history from 1898 to 1906.
I think there's a pilot that wrote a really interesting book, isn't there?
Fascinating, because I mean, you read their reports in the local newspapers of Gore and down Southland in 1898. And
that's before planes. So if it's in the sky, it's something fucking gnarly, right?
Really, they
that's
call
almost
them,
the most compelling when
they
you think
call
about
them
it.
Airships at the time. They saw this airship
and
like going really fast and then disappearing and full of coloured lights and things. I mean, it's really, I wish I had those in front of me because that would be quite interesting for people.
Yeah.
But you can, it's all there. New Zealand declassified all our, or a lot of our UFO files a few years back.
It's hard because everything's so cluttered with random, you know, there's a lot of maniacs out there doing some crazy things to make a story.
Yeah,
you know?
But we don't need to talk about them. It's just wasting our time. Let's just keep to what's what's been confirmed.
What, apparently they're squid.
Oh, Johnny, go, John.
Just going back to Bob Lazar and the story surrounding the US military having craft, which they've excavated, you know, ancient ships.
Said, that's right. He said there was an archaeological find, didn't
that's
he?
Right.
That's what he said. That's right. I forgot about that. In his documentary with Jeremy Corbell, which is a great documentary. It's on Netflix, by the way. On Bob Lazar.
Bob Lazar,
well, that was the guy who was being interviewed when I watched the documentary with my dad when I was a kid in the 80s, in 1989. And it was really fascinating.
Do you think that holds a bit of weight? Because I watched all the David Fravor stuff and then jumped over to the Bob Lazar, and that all almost seems a bit more out of this world, you know, and harder to believe.
It does, but a lot of his story is corroborated, which is really crazy.
There's a bunch of things that have been slowly through the decades corroborated so that's really fascinating. But, I mean, of course, it's still hard to, with someone like him, it's difficult to get official, actual confirmation from government people, etc. You know, that it's still...
They've essentially erased
it's
them
just
from...
What him, yeah, books. Exactly. It's his word against... So we just have to listen and take it on board.
Hopefully you're getting these random names, listeners, and this all sort of makes sense to you.
But I think Bob Lazar is actually quite important because it comes back to the Stephen Greer thing, talking about, say if Roswell did happen, you know, then they've got recovered equipment, which is, you know, once again, that's hell put off, and it's recovered metamaterials, as they call them. So, you know, there seems to be that this narrative is slipping through and getting stronger and stronger. So... It looks like what we may even have in this report is potentially talking about recovered craft or material from. And if that happens, then, okay, the story's definitely going up another level, isn't it? You know, because then they can... Well, we just have to look at Hal Puthoff, that scientist, and what he's talking about, studying these so-called metamaterials. So,
do we know if any of the military have engaged... in sort of trying to attack these things?
Yes, I mean, yeah, absolutely.
Because that's the one thing that kind of hasn't happened. They seem to have just let them do their thing because they're actually not hurting anyone.
The modern footage, definitely no one is doing anything.
Right.
But, I mean, if you start looking historically, it would seem as if they've been attempted to shot down things, apparently,
They have actively jammed radar and actively, which is an act of war. They've done all sorts of things that are actually serious stuff.
The one thing, what you're referring to really also is exciting part of this is the Russians and the Americans and everyone who has nuclear missile sites.
Yeah, right.
I mean, this is another part of it. You could discuss a whole hour or so.
They do say that there's been
all of the missile sites have been shut down by UFOs since the 50s and 60s, right through to the 80s. They've all had, all of them, every single one of them has had reports, and they've come out. The Russians were really clear, open about this before the Americans.
Right.
And they had national documentaries about it, how between the 50s and the 80s, these craft would appear, shut down the nuclear sites, and the Americans have recently admitted it too.
Right.
And then, you know, hang out and then piss off, and then everything's back to normal.
And to that point...
I mean, that's incredible, isn't it? I mean, that shows you they're not hostile, doesn't it?
Who knows?
It's fascinating.
They do think that our humanity's recent... Well, since the nuclear era, when we started dropping all the bombs and stuff, you can go and watch a really interesting map of these getting exploded over time, that there's been a massive uptick in UFO activity and sightings, and they think it's like a, hey, what the fuck
are you
guys doing
to this
place?
That's definitely been part of the narrative in recent years, for sure. Absolutely.
Holy shit, it's bloody hard out, bro.
It's wonderful, isn't it? I mean, it's wonderful because I guess everyone's learning about things and...
Where are we at?
Where does it go? I mean,
some sort of higher power going, God, we left you as custodians of the planet. What are you doing?
We upgraded you from apes and look what you've done.
Hang on, guys. We're going back to that speculation stuff. Whoa. Let's get back to the NASA footage. NASA footage. You're talking about things being shot down. Let's keep it real.
Yeah, have we attempted to
engage them? There's an incredible footage. Go and look at the NASA footage from the 90s, shot from the space shuttle. It's incredible. There's one particular shot, and it's got an ST blah, 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 blah code name to it, and you'll be able to find it. It won't take long to find on YouTube. And it shows you a couple of UFOs coming into Earth from the space shuttle, and you see this beam come up, and this UFO dodge it. You see this little thing dodge this beam,
right?
Like it's being shot at, but it misses. It doesn't get it. Now it's at that bit of footage has been an incredible part of. What happened? There's a Swedish guy who actually at the time NASA would download would feed shoot they have this live feed from the 90s.
Wow!
And this guy from Sweden put it all to VHS. Amazing,
good
eh?
Man.
So
good man.
This is why this footage survives. It's really exciting. And there's another one with this incident, which is really incredible, where it's from the 90s as well, where they have a 12-mile-long tether, which comes loose.
Mm.
Now, this is incredible footage, which I'm sure once this all blows over will become part of the norm as well. This footage will become part of the
narrative.
Yeah. It will. And this 12-mile-long tether comes loose from the space shuttle, whatever it is, and you see dozens and dozens of these disc craft buzzing around it as they're filming the tether just going off into space.
Mm-hmm.
And it's incredible. And they're going, do you see what? We see a boat. It's incredible footage. These guys are 100, a massive craft too.
Mm.
I mean, it's bizarre footage. But I think it's interesting. It's credible, and that's what's interesting. It's the credible NASA stuff. You know, if you want to stick to
these are trained
facts,
eyes.
It's trained eyes.
It's no longer like Benny and Barney Hill out in the middle of nowhere.
At that time,
you know?
The people who are part of Houston and on the craft and the space shuttle, they don't talk about it.
Right.
You know, they don't. They just hinted it.
Yeah.
But nowadays, you're allowed to. Like, we come to the modern era, thanks to the footage that was released and the pressure that's come out. Last year, the Navy put guidelines for people to report it for the first time.
That's right.
Properly,
they've actually said, "Look, if you see something, let us know."
Yeah, which is really, really wonderful. So things have changed a lot.
A national pride type thing.
It's an international thing, from what I can tell.
I
just mean government's sort of reluctance to admit or talk about these things. Is it because they don't want to alarm the public, or they don't want to admit to being confronted with things which are outside their understanding?
It's such a great question, man. Mm. I mean, it's such a great question.
I reckon the second bit.
It's tricky because, I mean, if it can you can understand how, excuse me, wonderful beer, thanks to Hallertau. Cheers, Oscar.
Yeah,
you know, it's interesting to think about, like, okay, obviously if you're doing, say, the 1940s or 50s or 60s and you've got our technology, you have, you're confronted with something, you may not want to tell your Joe Publix about things. I get that. I think we can all get that now. And I guess it's embarrassing for them
jaded
to take it on for so long, and with popular culture and reality and people like, hey, come on, it's going on a bit long.
Yeah.
Maybe it's a critical mass thing, like people getting on the bridge the other day with bikes. Exactly. You know, it's like the information gets to a point where you're there. And I think maybe I think there's an element of that to this discussion, which I think is really, really important. Mm. And
you think we're ready? You think we're ready to know?
People have been ready for a long time,
right?
But you know, ready for what?
Yeah,
Once again, it's like we don't know what these things are, but I think we're ready to have the discussion to talk about what they might be.
Yeah,
without like you know, it's difficult, isn't it? Here we go, doing a pretty good job in Aotearoa tonight.
We're just trying to fly the flag
on BFM. Well done.
People, thanks for all your texts coming in. Thank you for the support. You know, this is some zany shit, and it's right up our lane. You know, like I honestly think it's such a beautiful time.
Well, things are going to unfold. I mean, that's the incredible thing. Mm. I mean, for me, watching it, say since 1989 right through till now,
like a
things
private
have
hobby. You know,
well, let's
like
say up to 5 years ago, there's no way, would I have gone on BFM and talked about this shit 5 years ago.
Yeah.
No way, no
bring
way,
it up at
no
pub?
Fucking chance,
would
man.
You bring it up at the pub with someone.
Talk to my mates about it. Yeah, okay, guys in the band. Darren. You know,
write a song about it.
Okay,
Darren,
leave it at that. You know, but the thing is, since 2017, you know, since that information started coming out officially.
Yeah.
Then things are different now. And it's taken, it took 3 years. Now, this is incredible. It took three years
for
the Pentagon and the US government to go, okay, well, let's talk about it. And now Obama said it thanks to the 60 Minutes item.
And just a heads up.
So let's just bring that back round to the fact that Obama said they're real. I mean, it's fantastic.
25th of June is when the report comes out from the US government disclosing what they know. They have, the Pentagon has demanded answers.
from all intelligence agencies.
Of entry into this sort of world that you would recommend to people? I mean, I started with
Definitely. Watch the phenomenon, the latest stuff, let's just start with the latest stuff because you can talk about what's been confirmed so far.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just take a breath. And there's a documentary made by a guy called Jamie Foxx called The Phenomenon.
Right.
And it just in a really, it's very recent. You can just
came out last year.
It gives you a very basic, open introduction.
More basic though, if you think you don't have time, there is that the 60 minutes piece is fantastic just to get your grips.
Yep, it's quarter of an hour long.
It's only 13 minutes or so.
Yep.
And you can just see what these pilots are seeing and sort of catch up to speed.
Yeah, the 60 minutes one is a really good one. Mm. I mean, in the early 90s, I read a book by a guy called Timothy Good, and he was a really nuts and bolts kind of researcher, and that was where he got a lot of information. It was great, and I was really lucky to meet a guy called Nick Pope. You might have seen Nick Pope in the literature through the years, and he used to work. I met him in the early 2000s when I was living in London. We had a little interview with him, and he worked for the Department of Defense. For the UK.
Mm.
He's cool as.
Oh, I know, he's fantastic.
You've seen him around, Nick Pope, I mean, he's the guy.
He's been Stephen on a lot Gru- of the news, he's getting a lot of news attention now, and it's actually really cool to see all these people getting kind of their comeuppance, because they've been sticking their neck out for a really long time, you know, and they're getting respected now, and it's quite rad.
He's brilliant. It's good. I mean,
just on that, unfortunately, we've got to wrap this up.
Absolutely.
But, absolutely, we will have you back. Darren Harkness has been absolutely brilliant, sort of figuring this stuff out and just sort of nutting it out. This will be available. It will be podcasted, ladies and gentlemen, and we'll follow it as it happens. I reckon we get you back definitely before the report comes out, and have another hoon at this, mate. Thanks so much for coming out. We really appreciate it.
Thank you very much for having me.
Have you got one more tune for us?
Yeah, I've got a single coming out on June 21st called "Get What You Want," so I could play you that if you like.
Please do.
Sounds good.
All right, here we go. Let me just look at it. There we go. Here we go. I'm about to push play.
Kia ora, mate.
Get What You Want. Thanks, guys. Take it easy. We'll see you soon.
Right on. Stay in touch.
Everything's alright. Sustaining Alive with Rita Steele on 95 BFM.